Lady. Well, for our thoughts that are being put out here to be shared this evening is by a young lady that I've known for a lot of years, and she has stayed faithful to this thought pattern to see what she could do to help others for a lot of years. And she had one of those jobs that was just way too hard for any girl to handle, and she did it, working for the government. And she did a good job of that, and then got to retire, and now she's more just into her God work and helping her mother and doing her very best to be an example of what God wants her to be. And most of you know her. She's a minister here at the Sunday Church, and it's our Reverend Connie. Reverend Connie.
The key word there was young lady. I hope you all got that. Oh, yeah. Huh? Young lady. I know. I can't believe I've never in all these years, and I think we decided, was it 100 or just 68 years that we've known each other? She's never had a cold ever. So let's just send some healing energy over there. I don't know. That's amazing to me. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Oh, wait, I brought my disinfectant up here. Not that I don't love you, Millie. Usually, I'll have Lysol disinfectant, basin tub, and tile cleaner, but this time, I'm just using... Is this mine?
I touched it.
It's not a comedy act, it really isn't.
Mary, please don't laugh and encourage me.
Thank you, Mary. I paid her ahead of time. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I just love being here on Wednesday. I grew up here at Wednesday and Tuesday night class in the Swedenborgen Church for many years. And Millie's classes are going on right now, and boy, if you want to give yourself a treat, really get it, try the classes. It just is life-changing. And it's not about learning how to be a medium or anything like that. It's learning to just love each other. That's what they're about. What do you call them? Spiritual growth. Okay, anyway, that's what I wanted to say is, and what I wrote, I really love that Millie has these Wednesday evenings because it's such a joy to her to have these. And it's a joy to you to be able to have her. And I hope you all recognize that. Millie is a joy to all of us. And Mother Teresa once said, "One filled with joy preaches without preaching." Is that Millie or what? And I can truthfully say that Millie is one of those blessings in my life that brings me true happiness. Thank you, Millie. But that leads me to my topic tonight, which is happiness. And y'all are so quiet and calm tonight. And Wednesdays used to be up, but now everybody's out of their seats. So I'm going to try and raise the vibration a little bit. Is that okay?
Oh.
All right. No or yes? Okay. But I've been hearing people grumbling a little bit, and I got to thinking, I don't know if God's particularly happy listening to everybody grumbling. And more to the point of my talk, I really, really believe that what God wants is for us to be happy. I really believe that. He loves us, so doesn't it make sense that he would want us to be happy? And yes, thank you, Janie. And yes, we have challenges, on the earth plane and, financial challenges, loss of loved ones, but those things make us stronger. And as spiritualists, we believe, we choose to come to this earth plane to learn lessons. And that's what challenges do for us. And when we go through things that are difficult to bear, under it all, or rather, I guess I should say over it all, God is there for us. And God wants us to be happy. He wants us to achieve everything he has in mind for us to achieve. He really does. He gave us the skills and gifts, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, to achieve what we're supposed to achieve on this earth plane and to reach our potential, whatever that is for each one of us. So when I hear people grumbling about not having enough money to be able to afford this or that, I think to myself, why is that little item, you know, do they really think buying that iPad is going to bring them happiness? I mean, it's like such a big deal, other than teenagers, I mean, you know, just normal people. But I don't hear grumbling about, no offense to the teenagers here, or the coming-up-ins. But I don't hear them, you know, complaining about not having enough food, maybe stretching a dollar, but I say, what's wrong with stretching a dollar? So what? Do it anyway. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, having your basic needs met. I'm talking about those extra things that people just seem to want. But maybe they don't have as much money as they used to have, and so they had to give up the idea of buying something. But is that a reason to become unhappy? Goodness. One of the people who grumbled around me has 3 credit cards, and they're all maxed out on stuff. And my definition of stuff is anything that you don't need is stuff. And now I wish we all could have everything we want. I mean, I wouldn't turn away a big old house and 4 servants and all that stuff. But, you know, it's not a need. And I wish we could all have what we want. But I just want people to remember, let's give thanks for what we do have. We have so much already. So many things to be thankful for. I believe happiness doesn't come as a result of getting something we don't have, but it often comes from recognizing and appreciating what we do have. Maybe if they invited God into the situation first, and if it was right for their soul's growth, and I just talked with somebody about this, they'd have the things they need to buy whatever, or the road would open more clearly for them. Or maybe they would find out it wasn't really so important after all. So I'm going to quote somebody here, this preacher named Joel Osteen. I was telling Millie about him tonight. Does anybody know who he is? He's cute. He's really cute. And but I like him because all his messages are upbeat. You know, they're really upbeat. And do you know he gets criticized mercilessly, something like that, by all these other Christian preachers because he's not preaching, you know, hellfire and brimstone and Christians need to suffer. And so he takes on a lot of heat for keeping all his messages upbeat. But anyway, I like him. So I'm going to quote him. He said something about when you're going after something you shouldn't be going after, or when you're living in a regret over something, do yourself a favor and turn the page. Close that chapter in your book of life and get on to the new chapter God has ready for you. I like that. When we put God first, the happiness will come. If God is just your co-pilot, then you're in the wrong seat. All right. We can be happy a lot more of the time than we think. It's a choice. We have a choice. The Bible tells us, let those who seek God rejoice and be glad. Be glad with me and rejoice with me. And, you know, what I have in here is when I think of this great land we live in and the abundant freedoms we enjoy, it's hard for me to understand why so many people claim to be unhappy. And when we were singing What a Wonderful World, I was just thinking, my gosh, this is my talk. Paying attention to everything, trees and roses and colors of the rainbow and all that. We have so much in this country. What's to be unhappy about? Plenty of people miss their share of happiness, not because they never found it, but because they didn't stop to enjoy it. In my mind, it's about recognizing what will really bring us happiness. Now, will buying that top-of-the-line fancy new car that we can't afford be the magic thing to make us happy? I've actually heard people say this, oh, I'd be so happy if only I could buy that, or oh, I'd be so happy if only... And I look at them like, you know, you must have seen me give one of my looks. I just look at them like... I try not to do it when I'm in my minister role, though, but... you know, it makes me wonder where they're coming from. I don't think material things are the gateway to happiness, but some people do think that. Someone once said, and this is a little bit tricky, but it says, measure wealth not by the things you have, but by the things for which you would not take any money. For the things you wouldn't... So, like, for example, if somebody offered you money to give away your good health, you wouldn't do that. You have your good health. You're not going to give it away. That's how you measure your happiness. You have children. You wouldn't sell your children. That's your happiness. The wealth is in our blessings. And part of being happy is knowing how wealthy you are without having to look at your bank account. I'm not putting down material things. If you can afford it, that's great. God does not want us to do without. He wants us to be successful. But like any father, he expects us to make good choices that are good for our personal growth while we're on this earth plane. The Bible supports the idea that God wants us to be happy. Matthew 5 is the best chapter of this, you know, plus the Psalms. And Jesus told us exactly what we need to do to be happy. And I don't know, I was raised Catholic, so back then we called these things in the Bible were called the Beatitudes. I don't know if other religions call them something else. It was the Sermon on the Mount. But they all start with blessed are the blessed. And I was looking on the internet for this talk, and one of the authors said his Bible, instead of saying blessed are, he would put happy. So I'm going to give you some of those. They're words of guidance from Jesus Christ. Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed or happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be completely satisfied. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Happy are the makers and maintainers of peace. Jesus gave us an outline on what to do to be happy. And basically, it's just living spiritually. The foolish man seeks happiness in the distance. The wise man grows it under his feet. Be happy where you are. At the moment, in this moment. Be happy you're here with Millie, with these like-minded people. Be in the moment as much as you can. We can find happiness with humor. We can find happiness with fun, with our family and friends. There's so many ways to bring happiness and joy into our lives. We just need to choose to do so and appreciate that we're doing it. And I'll give an example using myself, and Millie mentioned that I did retire, and I'll tell you, talk about finding happiness. Oh my, really, but what I found was a peace I've never had before in my life. But when I had to make the decision, I was so scared. I did retire young, and so my retirement wasn't what it should be. But the things at my workplace were very toxic, and I could tell that it was like killing my soul. And the only time, you know, I was spending with my mother is when I would take off of work to take her to a doctor's appointment or take her here. And what I wanted was quality time with my mom. In fact, now we make one day a total play day, like Friday is our play days. So I don't regret my decision for a minute. But making that decision, very difficult, filled with fear. I mean, I was on my knees praying. And I asked God, I pleaded with God to help me make the right decision. And I had one of those aha moments. God came in and answered my prayer in a way that I don't know that I've ever had it answered before. in the moment like that. He gave me the courage to do what I needed to do to be spiritually healthy, mentally healthy. Part of what I did for the last 10 years, I was a mediator, and I managed the mediator program for the Navy here in San Diego, and handled workplace conflicts. So, you know, I was surrounded by conflict. It was very rewarding, and I'm glad I did it, but toward the end, I was just ready to punch him out. No, no, I'm kidding. No, it was very rewarding, but it was time to go, and I, you know, there was, and God, thank you that I have the money to pay my bills. You know, I have enough to cover my mortgage, and I even have a little bit extra. Hallelujah. But I believe I was able to do it because it was a right for my soul, and God helped me with that decision. But I also have to put this aspect, not to my retirement, but when I hear people use God as an excuse to do something, because, you know, God wants me to be happy, so I'll do this. Sometimes the this is not a very nice thing. So I've heard Christians say this. You know, God wants me to be happy, so I'm going to do this, even when it's not right, ethical, or godlike. People today in this culture often make decisions solely on what'll make me, you know, be happy instead of whether it's healthy or spiritual thing to do. I am amazed at the number of people who, you know, I just had to have that affair because God wanted me to be happy. I had to walk out on my kids because this one, you know, God wants me to be happy. Uh-uh. God does not want you to hurt somebody else, make unethical decisions, and then use him as an excuse. You all have heard this from people, I'm sure. And now that I brought it back to your consciousness, you're going to hear it, and you'll know when you hear it. You can't become unconscious once you're conscious. I'm pretty sure God wasn't sitting up there in heaven going, "Thou shalt not commit adultery, oh, unless it makes you happy." You know, "Thou shalt not kill, oh, well, unless it makes you happy." So, you know, watch for those people that try, you know, it's natural to try and justify what we do, but please don't put up with someone using God as an excuse to do something that isn't loving or godlike. And while I'm at it, I just have to add something about bad choices. Well, I'm glad the kids are here. I'm not going to go into detail, I'll just say what I have to say. I heard on The View yesterday that the biggest selling Halloween mask is Casey Anthony. Casey Anthony. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I'm not saying guilty or innocent. All I'm saying is if I saw something like that, a mask like that, I remember that a child is gone. That's what I remember. Then they even have masks of Kaylee. So I would like to just bring to your mind as you're, you know, goblins, ghosts, and having fun, that's great. But, you know, please, please, please make good choices around your children. Jody, I know you will. And, you know, have the kids make good choices. You know, I don't know that an axe in the head is much better, but, you know, really, I just couldn't believe that. Isn't that something? And they're making a ton of money. You're not having an axe in your head, are you, really? No, okay. You know, some people, I heard also today that Michelle Obama's getting criticized because when you go to the White House, she hands out raisins and healthy stuff, and they were all complaining about it. So don't go trick-or-treating. It's a big bummer at the White House. So. You only get healthy stuff there. Actually, I think it was her husband, the president, was on Jay Leno and saying that about his wife, telling tales out of school. So, all right. Some people might think doing something for someone else makes them happy. Some people might think volunteering or donating less fortunate makes you happy. On the other hand, if you think material things are going to make you happy, There is a flaw in your reasoning. Earthly priorities might bring some earthly rewards, but godly priorities bring eternal rewards. If you find that the way you're heading seems to be blocked, and all these roadblocks keep coming up, God probably wants you to go a different way. It's not that he doesn't want you to have what you think will make you happy. It's that he knows what will really make you happy. He knows what's best for you. And if you're headed down the wrong road, he'll try and get you back in the right direction. And Joel Osteen said this once. I like this too. He said, don't put a question mark where God has put a period. You know, good. Why is this wall here? And why? You know, God's put a period there. He has a plan for you. Close the chapter, get on to the next page. Let God smooth the direction for you, and you'll go exactly where you need to go. And it'll be exactly where God wants you to be. Happiness is a conscious choice, not an automatic response, although it can be. Before Lindy gets on me about it, it could be, but generally it's a conscious choice. We can choose to look at the glass half empty or half full. We can choose to look at the rain as just, oh, it's dismal rain, or we can look at it as water nurturing the earth. We can look at our challenges like martyrs, oh, poor me, why me? Or we can thank God for helping us find a way out of our challenges. Please stop and think about what you believe makes you happy. Catch yourself if you're grumbling a little bit. And maybe what I try and do, like if I, rarely happens, but if I say something a little negative, I'll try and quickly say something positive to counteract it. Do that if you're grumbling a little bit. Oh yeah, well, oh gosh. But I am thankful for my health. But I am thankful for the joy my son brings me, or whatever it is. God knows exactly, bless you, exactly what you need, and he's promised to provide it. Matthew 31:32 tells us your heavenly Father knows your needs. God wants you to be happy. I don't think God's promise involves a big screen TV or a fancy car. God's promise is to provide, bless you, for us and it's somebody outside, I know. But I could bless them. It's nice to bless people. Oh. Bless you, doggy. But God's promise is to provide for us when we're anxious about the basics of life or when we're facing huge decisions like retiring and not having enough money. What I've learned is that trusting in God is what allows him to provide. We're not going to get what we need until we trust in God, and it will bring us soulful happiness. God has a plan for you. He wants you to be the best you can be, and he's made it possible. Just follow his light. Ben Franklin said the Constitution only guarantees the American people the right to pursue happiness. You have to catch it yourself. It's up to you to catch those moments, to make those moments count. You'll be happier, and that will please God. So in closing, I'd like you to think about this quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. Happiness is not a goal, it is a byproduct. And I will add one final thought, and this is a biggie, and I want you all to remember this. Jumping for joy is good exercise. Thank you for giving me this time.